Well, welcome back to our next edition of What's Up America with Mike Kerr, as always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, the General Central Florida, Orlando area, USA, planet Earth. And my next guest is Big Dooley, who is a great writer, comedian, host, and actor. And Big Dooley, it's a pleasure and honor that you could join me today from Detroit, Michigan, and tell us all about, you know, what you do and all about the different projects you've got going on. And first of all, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and a little bit how you got involved in all this?
What's up, Mike? Appreciate you for having me on today. Been a comedian for the last 10 plus years now. Got all started on a dare. You know, I wasn't a class clown or one of those guys. I was a late bloomer, if you will. You know, but when I got to work and, you know, when I got on breaks and lunches, there's nothing to do but talk about each other. And apparently I was a little bit better at it than other people were. So, you know, after roasting the guys on lunch breaks at the Roach Coach and, you know, judging by some of their wives cooking, you know, they were easy targets. So they got tired of me talking about them so much. They say, if you're so funny, why don't you go be funny on stage? And I said, you know what? Dare accepted. Signed up for an open mic, invited everybody out. The whole first shift came out to see me on my first time, did pretty good and got hooked. And 10 years later, here I am, man, still living the dream.
Oh, great. So, I mean, for you, that's how you basically got into comedy, was like a lot of observational comedy. So, I mean, is that your bread and butter is observing around you?
Oh, yeah, that's my calling card right there. You know, I tend to really draw my personal life experiences. You know, I've been married for 20 years. You know, I got two kids in college, still broke as hell. And, you know, that's my calling card there. I always rely on life experiences, everything, everyday stuff that people go through. You know, I can just make it funny. My comedy is really relatable to a lot of different ages and, you know, backgrounds, different ethnicities. You know, I bring funny is funny. You put people in front of me and I'll make you laugh. So that's my calling card right there, man. That quick wit. Being able to improv has always been a big part of my act too. You know, you see something going on, there's always somebody who's got to pee during a 45 minute set, you know, 10 minutes into it. So, you know, you got to have fun with that portion of the show, and improv and is obviously a big part of it. That's my calling card too. I got a lot of damn calling cards. You got to call it whatever you want to nowadays. You know, you got to be good at just about a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So I got a lot of calling cards. Call me.
That's good. So you mentioned, Big Dooley, about 45-minute sets. So, I mean, those shows could actually be that long then?
Oh, yeah. Normally, you know, I'll do 45 minutes. Some of them are hour sets. So you got to be flexible. You know, I'm at a point in my career where, 10 years in is still relatively new for comedy, you know, in some aspects. You know, when the big headliners come into town, they want somebody to feature for them. They still want a seasoned guy. So, you know, those are the 15, 20 minute sets that I'm more than glad to do. And then you get your shows around town where, you know, the cities that I'm, you know, got a little following in, and I'll headline some of those shows, or those are a little longer, 45 minutes to an hour typically,
Okay. So, you know, we talk about, you know, different subjects. So, I mean, do you have different shows for different audiences, or is it basically one show for everyone?
Like I said, funny is funny, you know, so I don't really change up no matter what crowd I'm in front of. I bring the same stuff. You know, it's all pretty much relatable to everybody who's got a pulse, a job, a child, you know, a marriage, you know, relationship. You know, I'll have something in there for you. So I don't really have to change it up for whoever I'm in front of. I just bring the funny, you bring the money. It's a good relationship.
So, Big Dooley, you mentioned about, doing a lot of similar performances, and, you know, funny is funny. But, I mean, do you ever get asked to do, like, family events, or what happens, a dreaded, oh no, there's somebody brought their kid business?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. There have been times you have to switch it up on the spot. You know, there was a time when I did a cornhole festival up in Hale, Michigan, right? You show up and it was supposed to be an evening set, right? So no kids, they were all supposed to be gone. I show up, the whole front row is filled with kids crawling all over the joint, right? So obviously I'm the headliner that night. They said, "Hey, you know what? We know you guys were expecting kids. You can go PG-13 if you need to." Didn't need to. On that kind of instance, like I said, I didn't really have to change the material. All you really change is just some of the words in between. You know, I just eliminated some of the cuss words, but being that the content, it's not necessarily kid friendly, but it's PG. You know, most of the parents appreciated that I'm not saying anything that, you know, is going to gross their kids out or anything they haven't seen on Grand Theft Auto, truthfully be told, by the way. But they really appreciated that. So plenty of times I've had to switch it up from, you know, I was expecting to go do a hardcore comedy set or rip, you know, no holds barred, and oops, I got to do a PG set now. In that instance, yeah, you eliminate, you know, a joke or two that might rub some people the wrong way, but then you just plug it in with, you know, something a little more family friendly.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, that you can do, you know, half hour, you can do 45 minutes. But I mean, when you have to do 45 minute sets, do the jokes and the punch lines, and I mean, is things stretched out, or is it just more jokes then?
Just more jokes. Just more jokes. I always come with at least, you know, if I'm doing 45 minutes, I'm gonna have 45 minutes worth of material. As the professional comedian in me, that's what you prepare for. So even if I don't get one laugh, I'm still prepared to do jokes for 45 minutes of that time. You know what I mean? But so typically, you know, I go prepare for 45, and in between time, I end up getting improv or interrupted, or, you know, end up doing a joke that I didn't intend on doing. You know, things like that in the spur of the moment, because every show is always a little bit different. I always seem to end up doing a joke I had no intention on doing. And then, you know, you just kind of go with it. You get the juices get flowing, blood gets pumping, and, you know, at that moment, you're in the zone. You're just kind of going for it, you know.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you mentioned about, you know, different venues. I mean, there's a lot of these venues, comedy clubs. I mean, is there interesting places that you actually are performing comedy at then?
Well, now that the world is starting to open back up again, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, hitting up some of these comedy places. I got a tour that I'm planning coming up. I'll be hitting Chicago, so you know, I'll be hitting the comedy rooms out in Chicago. I got Wisconsin coming up and Indiana, so I'll be hitting some spots throughout the Midwest, and then hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be back down south. I was actually in Florida in March. Enjoyed my time down there. Didn't get a chance to do comedy. Didn't, you know, nothing was quite opened up just quite yet. But definitely gonna get back down south before this year is out, hit some clubs in the Tampa, Miami areas too.
Oh, so you didn't get down to Florida. I was going to ask, like, or maybe when you get down to Florida, do you do Disney jokes? I mean, do you do observational jokes of places you've been at, or?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as a comic, you get to see some of the strangest places in the world. You go to some of the strangest cities. You know, everything is not in the, you know, in the big city under the bright lights. You really get to travel the highways and byways, you know. So you get to see some unique places. You know, people are always amused by where I'm from. I'm actually from Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit there. But, you know, I get a kick out of just messing with the host sometimes, and I'll just tell them, "Hey, I need you to tell everyone I'm from Ypsilanti, Michigan." And they said, "Now hold on, say that again. Ypsilanti, write it down for you." It still doesn't help. Even if I write it down, they still can't say it. Okay, is that by Detroit? Yeah, it's by Detroit. Go ahead, bring me up from Detroit. But you get that a lot, but it's all good.
Okay, Big Dooley, you know what? That sounds great. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back. My guest today from Detroit, Michigan, a great comedian and host and writer, Big Dooley. And we're so glad that Big Dooley could be here today. You are listening to What's Up America with Mike Kara, as always, Parley Broadcasting. from Ocoee, Florida, USA, Planet Earth, and please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program today. Well, welcome back to our next segment of What's Up America with Mike Kara. As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, the General Central Florida, Orlando area, USA, Planet Earth. My guest today is Big Dooley from Detroit, Michigan, who is a great comedian as well as host and meme maker and a writer and a YouTube person. And we're so blessed and honored to have Big Dooley from Detroit, Michigan here to tell us about his comedy and all his projects. Big Dooley, pleasure and honor. We're truly blessed and we're so glad you're here. Thanks so much.
And now, Big Dooley, I want to talk about, you know, the question we like to talk a lot about this show, and that is hecklers and how you deal with hecklers. And is there a certain way to, you know, save, you know, show that's heckled?
Well, I love hecklers, to be honest with you. I make them a part of the show. I don't really degrade people, so to speak, too much on stage. You know, it's all in light fun, but no one's going to want to hop on stage and fight me, you know, after I pretty much tear you to shreds, but in a nicest way possible. But I've dealt with hecklers throughout the whole time. I make them a part of the show. Typically, they just want attention. I give you attention that you didn't necessarily bargain for on getting, you know, the attention that I give you is not going to get you laid tonight. You got better odds on sitting down and being your normal loser self. You know, and you might have better chances. But typically, like I said, I don't go overly hard on them. I make them a part of the show, a focal point for a moment. But my goal is obviously to get you to laugh, sit down and shut up and enjoy the rest of the show. So I don't want to be exchanging with people for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? It ruins the flow and the integrity of my show, my set. So you acknowledge them, embarrass them, and move along. That's how the hecklers go. It's been a part of comedy. It'll always be a part of comedy, but nothing that I've had too hard of a time dealing with. Like I said, improv comes naturally to me. So if you want to do this like this, let's go.
Right. So, I mean, for you, Big Dooley, I mean, do you call people out if they're on their cell phone or they're making a
Absolutely.
Lot of noise?
Absolutely. Please believe it. You know, somebody's going to make an announcement at some point, you know, please silence your cell phones, you know, when I've actually taken people's phones. They've actually answered a call and I've actually took the call and talked to the people who they were on the phone with. You know, who is this? What you doing here? Who is this? I called to talk to so-and-so. They at the comedy show where you should be. Next time, get a babysitter, bring your ass out the house. You know, I've actually done that on stage. And just, people love it. They just go with it. So, and everyone else silences their phone after that. Please believe me.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we're talking about, again, venues. And so, I mean, a lot of the places you play are comedy places. So are they pretty attentive then because they come to pay for a show?
Oh, yeah. They will. You know what I mean? There's always someone who'll come and say, you know, and it's pretty much at the comedian's discretion. You know, whether they stay or go. But like in 10 years, I've never asked them to put anyone out. There's never been one that I can't handle. You know what I mean? I had a lady literally stand in front of the stage for the first 10 minutes of my set. Wherever I moved, she would walk and stand right in front of me. I was like, this is the smallest shadow I've ever had in my life. Can you follow me home, please? You know what I mean? So I had to go with that. There was nothing else I could do. I didn't really want them to put her out. So we went with it. She walked, I walked. I said, hey, I got my steps in tonight, if nothing left. You know, hopefully I'll be half your size by the time we go. But it happens. Eventually she sat down, I kept it moving. And I don't know, that's just too much liquor, I guess. Well, I don't know what that was. That might have been cocaine.
Yeah, you know there. So it says that you're a host. Does that mean host of these, like, comedy shows then, or?
Oh, yeah. As a comedian, that's what I love. You know, no two shows are the same. You can do, there's different aspects, you know, of comedy. Hosting the shows comes with a lot more. You know, you typically get to pick the venue, you pick the comedians, you know, you promote the show. So, and you actually host the physical show. So I do that a lot here in the Michigan, you know, Metro Detroit area. But, you know, when I go on the road, it's typically in a feature or headlining capacity where there's just a prepare 30, 45 minute, you know, hour set.
So as a host, then you start, from what I remember, then you start the show, you Definitely. Do what, a couple of minutes of comedy, or?
There you go. You open it up with 5-10 minutes of comedy, get a good feel for the room, you get the energy set, you know, make sure people are ready and have your cell phones on damn vibrate. You know, that's all the host responsibilities there. You know, just to get the room ready, read the room, you know, to kind of give the next comics the initial feedback. Hey, this is really hidden. Crowd is feeling this kind of joke or that kind of joke. That's all host responsibilities, per se, technically.
So, I mean, as host, do you ever, you know, confront hecklers as well? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. It's no different. I'm still on stage, you know, as a host, as you know, I'm still bringing my same comedy. I'm still bringing the same jokes, just in broken up fashion. Now, when I typically host a show, I'll open it up. I'll do 10, 15 minutes of, you know, straight comedy, you know, probably, you know, depending on how much interaction I do with the crowd to open it up with. That just gets them a little loosened up, you know, but 20 minutes max. Then I'll bring up the first comic. He'll do 10, 15 minutes. But then as the host, you just come back in between each comic. So normally I don't do much time in between each comic. You just kind of want to keep the show rolling after that. Especially when a comedian kills, you want to get the next comedian up to kill right after that. You know, now somebody don't do so well as a host, I'm going to take a little more time, get the room energy back up, get some laughs going and get some liquor in people before I bring the next comic up. So I may do 5-10 minutes just to get the room back how I want.
So that's
it happens.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you mentioned about, you know, liquor and everybody drinking. I mean, for you, do you like to enjoy, I don't know if you drink, but if you do, do you like to enjoy after the show, or you really shouldn't drink too much before the show then?
Always after the show. Typically, I go on stage mostly sober, believe it or not. I may take a shot for the nerves, you know what I mean? There's just always that little bit of butterflies, no matter how long I've been doing it, you get those little butterflies in your stomach. But I like to be sharp. I like my punchlines to be timely, you know what I mean? So I want to be at my best. I wouldn't show up to any other job drunk or, you know, high or any otherwise. So I don't do that with comedy either. Now, the issue is people always want to buy you drinks, you know, especially when you do good. So there's always, you know, by the time I get on stage, I'll have 2 or 3 beers waiting for me. It's like, I still got to drive, or I still got to go catch a flight, or, you know, so it's still no time to get wasted. It's typically off to the next city, but good problem to have. People want to buy you drinks. Damn, you know, I ain't about to complain about that, though.
So, I mean, though afterwards you can enjoy a lot of drinks, but I mean, is there the concern that, you know, you have a certain brand, you have, you right. know, a certain way you want people to see yourself, enjoy Absolutely. Yourself, and with stone face drunk necessarily how you want the public to see?
No, that's never been my repertoire. Like I said, maybe a shot for the nerves. Other than that, that's it, man. I'm steady. I'm sober. I'm focused. I'm locked in. You know, I'm finding that zone. So no drugs or alcohol, really, you know, other than that, maybe a shot, maybe one beer. And that's just for the nerves. But other than that, I'm loaded and locked, baby. It's time to get the funny for the money.
Oh, okay. So we also mentioned, Big Dooley, about, you know, being a writer and actor. Can you tell right. us about what you do with that then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As far as the writing portion, you know, I write a lot of memes, which you can, you know, see on any of my social media pages. I've authored over 250 memes. So, you know, I write a lot of memes. I'm in the middle of writing a script now for a movie that should be out later this year. And I've lent my acting talents to several independent films that are, you can look on my YouTube channel, Big Dooley, Big Dooley. And you can find, you know, clips and scenes from all my from the movies that I've been in throughout the years. So it's been fun. You know, comedy takes you in many different directions. And, you know, I've lended my talents to all different kind of events and, you know, got to meet some incredible people.
Oh, so I mean, most of the memes that are on your Facebook, you
Oh,
wrote
yeah, all the
yourself.
memes are on my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. All the memes are on there. I normally drop about 5 to 10 memes a week. So, like I said, there's at least over 250 originally authored memes that I put out. There's also skits. I do videos. I got the Husky Chronicles. There's 20 videos that I recorded of me doing the Husky Chronicles. So we don't like to be called fat anymore in 2021. We like to be referred to as Husky. It's a much more politically correct word. So I do the Husky Chronicles. And if you think you're Husky or you think you're not Husky, you might be surprised. Go check out the videos.
Oh yeah, everyone's got to do that. Now with these memes, does the idea, does the words a lot of times just come to you, or is there a process to it?
Oh yeah, not really. Not really. It really does come to you. It really does come to me. I can just sometimes it comes from a thought. I can just think about something and go create, the image or search for the image that from the thought process. But anytime you scroll through any timeline or any kind of page, there's gonna be pictures that just speak to me. I don't even have to really all I gotta do is put it on paper. They talk to me. And it's my that ability to just capture it with words, and I really enjoy it. And obviously, I hope people enjoy them too.
Okay, Big Dooley, you know what? That sounds great. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back for our very last segment of this edition of our program today. My guest today from beautiful Detroit, Michigan. He's a great comedian and performer and host and writer, the one and only Mr. Big Dooley. So we're so glad that Big Dooley could be here today from Detroit, Michigan. And Big Dooley, we appreciate you sharing your love and passion for all that you do. You are listening to What's Up America with Mike Kerr, as always, probably broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please stay with us for our very last segment of this edition of our program today. Well, welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of What's Up America with Mike Kerr, as always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, the General Central Florida, Orlando area, USA, planet Earth. My guest today is the one and only Mr. Big Dooley from Detroit, Michigan, who is a great comedian and host and writer and meme maker and YouTube guy. And we're so blessed and honored that Big Dooley from Detroit, Michigan could be here today. So we want to thank Big Dooley, and we also want to thank each and every one of our podcast listeners for joining us today and share in my love and passion for what I do, which is bringing you Big Dooley's passion and love for what he does. So if you'd like to suggest not just necessarily a specific guest, but something about food or skydiving or hang gliding or whatever it might be, we're always looking for new subjects. Go to MikeKira.com, send me an email or give me a call. Again, my guest is Big Dooley, and Big Dooley is such a pleasure and honor and joy that you could be here and share all about your comedy. Thanks so much. We truly do appreciate it, and we truly are blessed.
Okay, now I wanted to ask you, Big Dooley, again, expanding on the observations, and we know we've had COVID and we've had the pandemic. So, I mean, how much of your comedy do you think has been about that then?
A little bit, but I'd say 25%. And the only reason I only do 25% is because it's so relevant right now that there's no way I can do comedy and not do something COVID related. But at the same time, everyone's doing COVID related right now too. You know what I mean? So you got to find that happy place where I'm going to put my spin on it, make sure it's not something regurgitated or you've heard before. It's going to be more of a personal related COVID story. You know what I mean? To make it funny and personable so you won't hear it anyplace else or ever again, because it's my story. So about 25%. You want to hit them with it because it's so relevant. But after that, it's just so much. I think people are looking to put this behind us right now. So in some ways, I'll hit on it normally earlier in the set and then put it behind me on stage too. Just don't
Okay.
cough. Don't cough during the performance. That'll get you put out. That might I put you out for. Don't be coughing.
Okay. Okay, Big Dooley. So you mentioned about YouTube. So, I mean, you have a lot of videos. I mean, I'm seeing performances of you on stage. Are those ones that you produce or somebody else? Or
both. They're from both. They're from shows that I produce. Like I said, I frequent on the Punchline Comedy Lounges all over the country. So, you know, you'll see videos of me at the Punchline Comedy Lounges, you know, Laugh Factories, all, you know, all the big ones. You'll see videos from me from, you know, that I've done from all over the country. Some I've done, and, you know, some I've used even camera footage from fans in the crowd before. That's typically the best footage, you know, somebody 2 feet in front of you. So I've even used that before. But yeah, a lot of content out there right now.
Yeah, speaking of cell phones, we know that certain comedians have not appreciated cell phones. But I mean, as far as elevating your brand or elevating, you know, marketing, do you think if somebody wants to take the time to videotape you, even if it's in a show, don't you think that's a good thing?
It's not all bad. I said, I ain't going to say it's a good thing because normally they're putting it out, you know, before you're ready for it to be put out. Typically what happens is, you know, you do 5 or 6 different rooms, you know, and they're kind of perfecting your craft. And normally toward, you know, the end of comedy season, which is normally, you know, normally picks up in the fall and kind of season one wraps up around Christmas time. But around Christmas time, you're ready to film what you've been doing, you know. So all those 6, 7, 8 rooms that I've, you know, that I've done the same particular set, I'm going to tweak it a little bit each time, and then I'm going to get ready to film it, you know, at some point. And then once I film it, it's gone. I don't use the material anymore. I start from scratch.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I could see. But, yeah, if people, you know, put that on their page, then it might be there forever.
Right. It's already out there. You know, your jokes will get distributed. Like I said, I got 2, 3 more cities to hit. You know, I like this material to come from me, not from, you know, your cousin Ray right now that you knew, you know, I was coming to their city next. And you knew I was in the city before. It happened. But, you know, if you want to get a few minutes, you know, to remember me by, I'm all good with that. It's all love. It's all part of the game. You know what I mean? I get it. You know, you didn't come to see me free. You want a piece of me to take with you. I get it. You know, that can be in the form of a few minutes. You know, record for a few minutes. And, you know, out of respect, just stop.
Okay. Now, as far as your, you want to talk about your social media, do you have like a website or Facebook and all that? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm all over social media. Like I said, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm too old to have a Snapchat. You know, all dudes over 40 years old need to register as sex offenders if you're on Snapchat. Personal opinion, you know, should be law, but I think it's personal opinion for now. But find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at Big Dooley Jokes on everything. YouTube, Big Dooley, just search Big Dooley Jokes and you'll find me.
Okay. That's great. And can you tell us, you mentioned about, it was the Husky Chronicles, was that it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Husky Chronicles. Yeah, that was just a video series that I started. You know, search the hashtag Husky Chronicles, you know, all my videos, memes, and, you know, skits will pop up. It was, like I said, I got tired of being called fat, you know. Obviously the whole fluffy thing has kind of been done already, but fluffy kind of implies, you know, soft. So husky, you can be a little more muscular and husky, but, you know, got a little extra in the midsection. So, you know, husky, it really described me, my personality, and I just kind of personified it. And honestly, I ran with it. It started as, you know, a little fun skit I did in the car one day. And then, like I said, 20 videos later, you know, people are still messaging me, when is the next Husky Chronicles coming out? So no set schedule. It's when the feeling strikes. You know, I like to be random like that. That way you don't feel pressure to put out anything. So everything I do is from the heart, you know, it's from the gut. And, you know, when I feel it, you'll see it.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so when something comes to you, then it could be at any time. And then once you got it, then you could post it. Huh?
You got it. That's how it goes. It comes to you day or night. You know, I've recorded videos at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 2 o'clock in the morning. When the mood hits you, you know, you got to get with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that sounds great. So, I mean, as far as do you have any upcoming shows or any upcoming projects you'd like to mention here or?
Well, I'm getting back into the swing of things now. I've been virtual for the last year due to the pandemic, but actually, you can see, well, you can't see that. I just got my second shot today. So I'm really looking to get back into the comedy scene. Like I said, I got a tour that I'm putting together now, and the details will, be all over my social media as soon as I get some dates finalized. Like I said, I just got my second shot today, so it's comedy time. Look out for me. I'm coming back
Oh,
again.
great. So that sounds fantastic. Okay, Big Dooley. Yeah, we really appreciate you
Thank you.
stopping by here.
Thank you
And
very
any
much.
final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention here?
Hey, appreciate your time. Look out for me. You may not have heard of me, but I'm pretty sure you will never forget me. Thank you very much, Big Dooley. I'm out.
Okay, thanks so much. My guest has been Big Dooley, and you've been listening to the Mike What's Up America with Mike Kara. And please catch us again next time.